Welcome back to the iHealth channel, iHealth Radio, the FinFab channel, the BizWar channel. I mean, we're going to go all over the place because my guest is going to take us on a journey of health, fitness, as well as business. And really, it sounds exactly that in that particular order because he is a doctor in physical therapy. And so we're going to talk about that. He is also an entrepreneur, and we're going to talk about that. And he's, teaching people how to do certain things and become better at their business without being overwhelmed and overburned, which is a very common thing that happens today to a lot of us. He's also got a story of his own health that got him into all this process. So, and then, of course, he has, a fitness therapy concept that we're going to talk about. So all of it is for grabs today. He's also a best-selling, author. He has a book that he's put out there. And it's a pretty cool one that we're going to talk about as well. So we're going to have a full comprehensive discussion today that's going to take us. Probably we even touch on nutrition. I don't know. And then maybe we go to Nutritious Channel there. So whatever it takes, we're going to go for the hour here. So Dr. Lance Knopp, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Hurricane. So honored to be here. Can't wait to dive into all of it.
Well, listen, it's a long journey for you in terms of all the things that you've gone through and the achievements that you have done, and also the things that you're doing currently to help others. So I want to break it down. And by the way, I didn't mention this. He also has his own TV show that he's doing. So that's another one. So quite a bit of achievement from the one end to the other. Very full, and I love it. So let's go back to the story. I mean, you started your world as a physical therapist.
Yes.
And so let's go from there. First of all, why? I mean, why physical therapy and not other things? And because there's always some reason behind why people go to physical therapy, whether they get injured when they were younger or whatever. And then I know you've dealt with some health issues, right? If I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And so,
yes.
Getting burnout and overwhelmed from work and things. So we'll talk about all that. And then how you got into starting your concept of fitness and therapy together. And then we'll go from there.
Okay. So yeah, as far as how I got into physical therapy, I stumbled upon it. And in high school, I was lucky enough to go to York Catholic High School in York, Pennsylvania. And, the teachers were great. And my classmates were great. We probably didn't have world-class guidance counselors. I don't remember receiving a lot of direction. It was probably on me and probably my fault, but I knew I loved to help people. I knew I loved health. And I decided pharmacy sounded good. So I applied to pharmacy schools, and I had a big ego. I actually got accepted to every pharmacy school I applied to, and therefore I didn't really, take things seriously. And combined with the fact I remembered that I didn't love chemistry, I didn't actually like chemistry. So it didn't go so well when I was 17 years old in New Brunswick, New Jersey at Rutgers. And I was maybe undeclared, and then, bio, like pre-med and exercise science. And fortunately, someone mentioned they had volunteered at Robert Wood Johnson Hospital in physical therapy. I had no idea what that was. I was lucky enough not to have any injuries, which is a very common scenario. And I volunteered, and I was like, wow, this is it. This is amazing. So then I became more focused, really, put my heart and soul into, studying and had a clear path that I was, focused on. And when I graduated from physical therapy school, it didn't take me long to, I didn't really think I had an entrepreneurial bone in my body. I was very clinical focused. So I did a transitional doctorate, again, in your neck of the woods. I stayed with Rutgers UMDNJ in Newark, evenings and weekends. I got board certified, and I just really wanted to master my craft. But then an entrepreneurial itch started to rise up, and I started to feel like things could be better. And this is, perfect for your audience. I really wanted to combine physical therapy and fitness, which hasn't been perfected even to this day. It's still really not. And I look at it, my wife and I look at it as a continuum, and we want people to move along the continuum from injured and broken to healthy and fit. And we look at, fitness as like a dotted line on that continuum. So when people enter us, whether they're coming from the fitness side within our own, facility or outside, they're going to get exposed to doctors of physical therapy. And for people that come through physical therapy, we want to immediately, if they have an upper body problem, there's no reason they can't be doing lower body and cardio, or the reverse. which is just totally, unfortunately, unusual and just not done. And especially for athletes, right? People, athletes don't need to get so deconditioned, and they can hit the ground running and get back faster. So we rented a 300 square foot space from a little boutique fitness center in 2004. We got married in May, started in June. Definitely not for the faint of heart to really, you know, go into business with your new partner in life. But for us, you know, it made our relationship stronger, and we did well, and we powered through it. And yeah, luckily I had good mentors, and they kept me from going off the cliff. And I studied partnership, and I really leveraged partnership, and we added a second office, a third office, and we grew to 5 locations. And in 2018, one of our partners took over our 5 location business. They ran the business, which, you know, in today's world, Benjamin Hardy, who's I'm a big fan of, calls that a self-managing company. And I didn't really know that term. That's when I kind of tried to figure out what I was going to do. And I spread my wings. And after some time, I realized I wanted to help other entrepreneurs and pay it forward. And I started doing some coaching. And the real deep message that I like to share is actually going back to 2011. We had 3 offices, 30 employees, and we just had our third child. So we had 3 children under the age of 4. And I was working 80 plus hours a week, abusing my body, not sleeping enough, not exercising enough, even though I'm literally within a physical therapy and fitness center. And my body had enough stress, and it finally stopped working. And my digestive system, my GI system shut down. And for anyone who's ever had GI problems, you know you're stopped in your tracks. So I had to rule out cancer, celiac, Crohn's, undergo endoscopies. You know, and I couldn't eat. I couldn't get nutrition. I was either in the bathroom or running to the bathroom. It was pretty awful. But sometimes entrepreneurs need, you know, right, a wake up call. And so I turned that rock bottom moment into, you know, the message that I want to share. Fortunately, it was temporary. It wasn't any permanent problem, and I was able to get myself back on track. And then I actually did try to put my process into the book that you mentioned, Hurricane, the 4% Breakthrough, and really just step by step share how to stay healthy while you're scaling a business. And so you can create a healthy lifestyle and also a healthy business that's actually, you'll get paid for the roles you have. You have double digit profitability beyond that. And you have an asset that you could decide to keep or sell. Because I'll even tell you more, like I guess a final chapter beyond that book and even where I went to is we got approached by a private equity backed company in 2021, and we weren't looking to sell. We had powered through the pandemic, but we did partner with them. And, my first 8-figure company that I coached. I began coaching the parent company. So anyway, that's kind of like a little final chapter we can dive into if that helps anyone to really understand how they can create a valuable asset and sell it. Or, you know, my next book is going to be sharing the partnership, all the partnership lessons that I learned, because I feel like staying independent and leveraging partnership is an underutilized strategy, and it can be beautiful. I lived it for many years, and that was our original vision. So I'm excited to talk about that as well.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about. I mean, there's so much there. We could spend a few hours easily. But so I want to go to some basics, because, you know, sometimes my show is a little different because, you know, whatever the topic is, that's the core. But there's so many, derivatives that are coming out of that discussion that I think sometimes just to share with our audiences, and, you know, there's a lot of worldwide, you know, local and national, international, but there's also a lot of you. I try to hopefully give information to, you know, people that are mid-age, you know, and all ages actually, but also the youth, because I think, you know, we all been through that age where you don't know what you want to do. Yeah. And you make some mistakes along the way. And of course, I don't call them failures. I call them lessons learned. Definitely. Or learning, you know, experiences type of thing. But the fact is they happen. And, you know, sometimes hearing stuff like, you know, from guests and experts such as yourself, it's always good to highlight some of this. And one of the things that you stated, that's powerful. You were good at what you did when you were young, and you went, you know, all right, so let's go to pharmacy. I got this. And you were so good that you were accepted in a lot of places. Many people will envy that, right? You know, they're lucky to get one or two places. But and that give you that little, you know, I got this. But at the same time, that wasn't you. You see, and that's a message I want to send to our audiences, you know. So whoever you are at that age, and by the way, my kids are just about going to college. So this is for that generation that is transiting to college today, next year, or in the coming years. But the fact of the matter is, it is something that we all have in common. I think everybody watching, listening, if you go back to your roots, just you know, as you finish high school, there is not a lot of consistency with the decision making at that time. A lot of times we take it from what our parents want. A lot of times we take it just like, I'm just going to wing it and see what's up and see what sticks. And then we wind up in these jobs or career paths that may not be, you know, what we want. And a lot of people, actually, studies really show that many people graduate in one major and never do anything with it. I mean, we can talk about a lot of, you know, types of, you know, folks that get a degree and they do something completely different because it just didn't fulfill them. So again, folks, as a message, you know, from our, you know, dear guest today, listen, find what drives you and motivates you to do stuff. And you stumbled into, like you said, physical therapy, but it fulfilled you. You felt it, you know, you know, it was different. This is you. And you made the transition. And that's actually a beauty that we have, at least in the States, we have that ability to change and shift credits and move here and there. And not, you know, in some other parts of the world, it may be difficult to do these things, but we have that advantage where you can literally start one way, remove some stuff, get new credits and adjust things, and you can still continue your path without so much damage financially, you know. But in other parts of the world, you can do it and you can just kind of finish one program and get another program. But I mean, I just wanted to touch that because I think that was something that you hit on right on in as you started the conversation. The other one is an interesting one because, you know, you said that you and your wife, well, newly wife, started a business with. That's a big one. A lot of people may not see themselves working hand in hand with their companions or, you know, significant others. And because, you know, mixing business with pleasure kind of thing, it's a little tough. You know, because now it's that same partner that you can have at home, you're going to have in the business. You know, many may frown upon that, but it does work sometimes if you're, you know, good, you know, with each other and you have similar liking and similar, you know, tendencies and, you know, aspiration and all that stuff. I mean, my wife and I, we work together too. So So it's we yin yang it, you know, we kind of compliments our compliment. We support each other, but it is not easy as people think, you know, there's a lot of dynamics in there. It is. And especially when you're new and starting a new business, folks, that's the thing. And we're probably going to touch more on this. It's not, you know, easy either. I mean, there's so many variables and there's always a chance that you're taking a business. Many people don't make it. I mean, glad to hear that not only you made it, you've expanded it and you've even had it self-managed and you had all these other, you know, successes with it, but not everyone can claim to do the same. But here's the thing, doesn't matter. You don't make it in the first business, you start another one.
Absolutely.
Again, as you said, that entrepreneurship is always available to us.
Yeah.
And, you know, sometimes it's the way we feel. I mean, there's two ways to do this, right? You can make money working for someone or you can make money working with someone, you know, it's, and by the way, it's just, there's a play on words here because we also work with someone, we work for someone.
For sure. Right? Absolutely.
You know, it's just the angle that you see. So you try to partner, either you're partnering up with a company or you're partnering up with employees. But at the end of the day, if you look at it from that, you probably do better than if you look at it like I'm an employee or I'm just a boss, you know, totally changed mindset, you know, verbiage here, but it's something that you've done successfully. Now you said you had kids. Now, kids also demand a lot of time. And by the way, I have three kids, so I know that feeling as well. But you had them back to back. So that's pretty rough. You know, my two are like literally Irish twins. So they're back to back. And the older one is much older. But but the fact of the matter is, it is a difficult task, you know, when you have to match the business, you know, the family, all the stuff, you know. And sometimes, and then you probably stated it well, is that you got overwhelmed. You very much, you know, got hurt in the process. That's a mistake we do either in the corporate world when we're trying to, you know, build a career path and just, you know, impress everybody because we want to go to the next level. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And or, you know, sometimes when you own a business, you know, it's not, that's a mistake people make. It's not a 7, you know, 9-to-5 job. When you own a business, it's 24/7, you know, anything that can go wrong will go wrong, as the laws will dictate, right?
Yeah.
So you're on, and sometimes you deprive yourself from the energy, from the things that you need to have to continue being performing in optimum levels, and you experience it. So let's start now. I'm gonna stop because you know I was just kind of pinpointing a few things, but yeah. That in itself, you said it hit your GI system, which that's one of the areas that gets affected by stress.
Yeah.
And you know, now how did you get out of it? I mean, you know, it's not an easy process.
Yeah. So much good stuff here. And I'll circle back to some of the other questions you mentioned. But as I mentioned, I really tried to organize how I did get out of it. And, you know, fortunately, eventually had success, and it was all lessons learned. And really, I organized it into three steps. Really doing some introspective work, number one, and doing some thought exercise and deciding what was most important for me. A lot of people call that your personal mission, your why, your cause. And then just some other thought exercises are all part of that first section in the 4% breakthrough. And then secondly, business fundamentals. And in sports and life, I feel like it usually comes down to the fundamentals, the basics. I was talking to a real estate broker today in Manhattan, and you know the real estate market is not good right now with high interest rates, and it's you know second worst market to 2008 for his industry. And you know his words were, "It's back to the basics." So for me, what I have people work on is an organizational structure, just like a chessboard, knowing who does what, and then having position descriptions very clearly matched with that. And then having your processes or systems, which, you know, many of you know Michael Gerber from the E-Myth, or if you know Marcus Lemonis from The Prophet, you know, you really, everybody in McDonald's, right? We need to be very clearly defined on how we do everything. And then having some strategy, having a plan in place. And lastly, a skills gap assessment. And then the third section is lifestyle, mental health. And again, I did try to put this in order, although they all interplay. It doesn't really matter which one you break in with, because there'll be positive synergy. But the order I approached it with was mental health, nutrition, sleep, exercise, and then posture and ergonomics. And I would also add a little bit of play and humor to the process as well, because that's so researched and important to everybody.
Oh, here's the thing. I mean, you are a doctor after all. I mean, you spend enough time, you know, to learn a few things that can help you in the tricks. Not everybody has that advantage, but nevertheless, you know, you set it up and I think you've defined it for everyone watching and listening right now. And these are all the areas that we all, it doesn't matter what we do, we should all have those in balance. Because I think that's exactly what you said. You need to have your mental health. You need to have the right nutrition. You need to have the right social level. You need to organize your life differently. You know, if you work for someone or work for yourself, you need to tell who's going to do what. Because one thing that happens when you own a business, you want to be in everything, and you want to be all over the place, and you want to make all the decisions, and you need all the job descriptions, and that you know, and I get that concept. But that's when you burn out. That's when you get overwhelmed. And that's when you crash. That's the thing. Some people crash and don't come back. So it is important that you'd never want to crash. And I love what you did with all this. You took it into a lesson learned, put it in a book, but in a concept that you share with other people now, you know, to help them never go back, you know, to that situation that you went. But I love the balance that you stayed in. And the key that you went to, what is the job description for each employee or for each partner that we're going to have and what they're going to be doing? Because that will take the pressure away. Every one of those folks is going to take a piece. And it makes it as a team. And that's the thing of beauty about having a team and working as a team is that you don't have to do it all by yourself. Sure. You work and you split the tasks, and everybody, you know, compliments everyone, and the results are always going to be there. Now you can do it by yourself, but then, you know, you are doing five times or six times the amount of, you know, energy that you need to spend on the thing. And that's not something that you can spare. Cause I mean, we are limited in our energy, you know, and time as well. And that's the other thing, sleep. You mentioned sleep. That's a big one. Nutrition. It is often known, and we see this. Now I always give reference to the movies, but it's really based on reality. I mean, how many of us, you're going to work, you grab, you know, snacks, you eat junk food, you know, you're not eating properly. You wait until the end of the night to eat because you're hungry, because you can get in there. But many of us in the corporate world, for example, or in business, They go the whole day without having food. They just keep, you know, going. I'll eat later. Now your body is eventually going to be good. Now, again, depends on the age, depends on my, you know, various dynamics. You might not feel it right away. But when your body is going to say enough, it's crash, it's over. And that's actually where it's a very difficult. Sometimes it's hard to come back.
Yeah.
Now, like you said, you've managed this. Now, how long did it take you to actually go through the process and kind of reestablish?
Even going through this, I was not as smart as I should have been. And I can remember, even in the first 14 days, I can remember having a breakfast with a physician, you know, a marketing business meeting. And I was eating bread, applesauce, or bananas, applesauce, toast, what they call the brat diet, which again, I didn't have, the perfect answer from the medical world, but luckily a mentor and friend of mine suggested I try that, and I did, and that made things more reasonable with my digestive system so that I could sit in one place. So I was literally out of breakfast having, you know, toast and applesauce and trying to act like nothing was wrong. But it took me weeks and months to really get back. And I thought that was a priority, but many things, it did force me to stop many things and pause, which was good, because just as you're saying, we make so many sacrifices as entrepreneurs, you know, whether it be our health, our family, our relationships, and things like sleep. That's usually the first thing to go. You know, I really recognize that pattern. And, you know, sleep is just such a foundation for our health. You know, you just can't skip it for so long. And, you know, to touch on, you know, crashing, for everyone listening, pay attention to any warning signs. If you're starting to feel like you're in a fog, or, you know, you're starting just to wake up at 3 a.m., you know, you're losing weight, your body composition's changing, you're irritable, you know, you're suffering your relationships with your partner. Like those, pay attention to some of those warning signs and take some positive, proactive action. Don't let it get too far.
Well, thank you. And you know, I think that is an important piece as a message for all audiences, because as you said, pause, you know, it's okay. That's the thing. Like, we think that if I pause, everything that I've been working on is going to crumble. Here's what's going to crumble. Yeah. If you don't come back, you're not going to be there to worry about it, because your health is going to leave you and that's it. I mean, you know, even if you're alive and stuff, and if you're not fully functional, you're not going to be able to do anything. So there you go. Your health is your wealth. But if you take care of yourself, again, that analogy of the mask on the plane, you got to have that mask on, and you have to be fully functional to be able to operate. Well, same thing here. And that's a very common thing that we all listen. I'm guilty at it, you know, and everyone that's watching, listening, if you were in any given moment in life, focusing on a path of success, whether an entrepreneur or a career path in a corporate, you will still do the same. Because even in a corporate, like, you wake up early, you're in the office first thing, you leave the last one, you're working 6-7 days a week, bringing work home, you're hardly taking care of stuff, you're eating outside, you know, so high sodium, high sugar, all the bad stuff, not hydrated enough, and you're not sleeping. So all those are bad things for you, and your body is just going to keep, but you're right. There are certain signs that happen, and you'll know, folks, if you're watching or listening right now, you know these signs. You're experiencing them now, then it's time for you to make a real pause, as you said. Just strike that pause there, press the button and hold, and start evaluating things or reevaluating things. What am I doing? What can I do? What can I delegate? What can I change? And again, I'm just reiterating some of the stuff that Dr. Knopp is mentioned, but really it is not a difficult process, but you have to be aware. Sometimes you're aware too late.
Right.
And that's the other thing. We don't want to go there, because again, you may be lucky. It may be weeks, months, maybe years sometimes to go back. And you're as a business not going to, you know, stay consistent if you're not there, especially if you didn't structure it correctly, it can just crumble. And now you're no health, no business. So both losses, not a good thing, right? So you want to make sure that it's all in balance. And this takes us to one of the topics you've addressed, is that burnout and overwhelming. So what do you tell people? I mean, in general, like, you know, I think you've covered some of it, but like, what would you tell people more in advance in the work you do to help people, and especially entrepreneurs, you know, to change their lifestyle, to change their process? What are some of the advices you will give them?
Yeah, I think what I would suggest in a nutshell is, again, that people really find some open space and open time and get away from the day-to-day chaos and stress and figure out what's most important to them. And then I have them do an exercise and create what I call a success schedule. So they really have to map out an ideal week. And it doesn't have to be 100% perfect. Nobody is, but we aim for 80%. And on this success schedule, people are going to declare what they're committing to: their sleep, their exercise, their time for family, their time for their children, you know, preparing meals, not eating standing up, not eating on the run, you know, just when you're going to go to bed, when you're going to get up, all those non-negotiables, all that important stuff, including working on the business, right? You don't have to like get into detail, but for everyone listening, you know, it's very easy for us to just work as a physical therapist or as a carpenter, an electrician, an attorney, a doctor. And, you know, as Hurricane mentioned, if, you know, we're not going to wear some of those other hats, you know, the CEO, the marketing manager, director of operations, however you slice your organization, your business will fail if you're only going to do the, you know, the quote technician work. So that's what I would really, in a nutshell, and really like a lot of expert opinion, when you decide what's important to you, a lot of times it is your own health, like oxygen mask, or it may be your family. You can look at it all different ways and it's completely up to you. It may be your spirituality, but know what's most important and then make it a priority. And a lot of people have said this, if you look back on your week and how you've really spent your time, that's what you're prioritizing. So if you never spend any time with your kids or your partner, or your health, you know, and I can think of, a CEO of an 8-figure company that I coached who was a triathlete and very active, and he carried his gym bag with him. And when we started working together, he only worked out on weekends. He didn't have a plan at all. It wasn't magically going to happen that time was going to appear in his schedule to get some exercise during the week. So it just never happened. He got exercise on the weekends and just couldn't break that cycle until we started working together. So, you know, being strategic for a period of time, I think will reap a lot of benefits.
Well, thank you for sharing that, because I mean, that's a great example. I mean,
yeah,
you're right. Someone who's running the show is probably going to, I'm focused on this. I'll do my health on the weekend, but
yeah,
it's going to do some effect, but it's not if you actually break it down. I mean, you do need some downtime during the day. You need, I mean, a lot of companies now are trying to put some of these programs in the workplace, and even some facilities, you know, companies have facilities within, you know, the company where people can work out, you know, or take, you know, meditation or whatever. Yeah. Some companies even pay for your, you know, gym membership, so you can go, you know, during your, whatever, lunch hour, whatever, to do some workout. Yeah. And so it is happening, but it's not as well, you know, I guess, spread across, you know, all the different people out there in the
for
company.
Sure.
But it's definitely, I love what you said, like how you break up the week. And because I mean, one of the things that we all hear, you know, one thing that we hear all the time as an excuse, and the number one is no time.
Right.
Right. Everybody says, I don't have no time, but everybody somehow manages to find a time to do certain things that are not relevant. Watching TV, we watch TV, right? You know,
yep.
So it's a problem, right? Now, but you can do it. We just have to, and by the way, there's a lot of specialty out there to help us. I mean, doctor, you are doing work right now to help people, and you're working with people to guide. So if someone really needs the assistance, hey, reach out to Dr. Knopp right now and see what we can do to change things. But the idea is that it can be done. It has been done. And people that know how to kind of go over this and, you know, really break it down to a science and to a week schedule that is very determined and cut dry, and it's non-negotiable, as you said. You know, these are things that I got to do: morning, midday, afternoon. I need to have my 8-hour sleeps, whatever. You know,
right.
You know, those are things. I mean, and by the way, the science is available. We need to know what we need for nutrition. We need to know what we need for our health. You know, relaxation, workout, exercise. Everybody that is in the fitness and health will tell you, movement, exercise, workout, detoxification. These are the key ones. And by the way, you stated all of them, but really it's something that can be done, and it's never too late, folks. That's the good news. No matter what stage you are in today, no matter where you are, how, you know, early on or way advanced and you're literally caught in the actual rip current, you know, in life, you can still get back, you know, and still fix this problem. It's not it's not the end. You can have a new fresh start every day, any day. So that's another one. Now, doctor, you mentioned something interesting about the combination of physical therapy and fitness.
Yes.
So I broke down a few items of that first piece of the discussion. So I wanted to go back to that one because it was interesting how you stated that, you know, people can come in to get fixed, but then they forget about the other piece and vice versa.
Yeah.
So let's talk about how does that work? I mean, someone is an athlete, they get hurt, right? Now they, you know, you don't want them just to focus on whatever, you know, muscle or body part that they hurt. You want to make sure that everything else remains functional. Is that the idea?
Yeah. So let's just, you know, use an example and imagine an athlete tears their ACL, their, you know, one of their knee ligaments. It's super common. And if they came in, there's no good reason that they couldn't do some upper body, even preoperatively, before surgery, after surgery. They could be doing an arm bicycle to actually keep their upper body strong and get some cardiovascular. They can definitely be doing some safe upper body resistance training. But it's not the standard, unfortunately, and it's not normally done. And the reverse, if an athlete tore their labrum and their, you know, the deep cartilage in their shoulder, you know, throwing athletes, you know, most people would just have them do physical therapy for their upper body and their lower body would be ignored. And then your cardiovascular, after 72 hours, all the benefits reverse. So you are extremely deconditioned and it's just not necessary for that other part of the, you know, the rest of the body to really hit rock bottom and base, you know, and baseline. So, you can, if you, like a facility like ours, where we actually have personal trainers and physical therapists collaborating, people can start to, on their off days, as they move along this continuum, they could start to work with, you know, professional fitness people, the trainers that are going to help them keep their eye-hand coordination and just start to incorporate athletic movements and all the kind of, you know, quote, fitness side of the equation. So people are going to get back further. And really, frankly, our goal was always to get people better than they were before, which was a hell of a lot of fun.
Wow. Well, thank you for that, because, you know, I think anyone watching and listening, I mean, I think everyone out there at any given point, they do some activity and you can get hurt no matter where. And especially if you're an athletic or, you know, into fitness and all this stuff, there's a very high chance that something's going to get hurt eventually, because we're human and, you know, your body's going to take a toll. Eventually something's going to, you know, scream help. All right. But you, it's a great point that when we try to fix a problem, we just fix that problem.
Right.
But sometimes we ignore the rest of the body because we only focus, like, we just want to make sure your arm is back. Right. But it, while we're doing this, it may take weeks and we are almost ignoring the rest of the body. So now your other part of the body is not physically fit. So now you got this one fit, but now you got to get back in shape. That may take more time. So what I'm getting is that your concept, it's a very, and by the way, it's very soundproof. I mean, it sounds great and it sounds like very basic, but as you said, that's not common. And really what it is that you work every single part of your body, even the, you know, that you can work with, you know, while you're fixing the problem that you have, whether upper or lower. And, you know, that is a great concept. Now, you started with one location doing the work you do, and you multiplied it, and you mentioned three at a certain point, and then you went to five.
Yes.
So how was that expansion? I mean, how difficult was it? I mean, because from a business perspective, I mean, it sounds very, listen, for everybody that is really thinking about working in as an entrepreneur for themselves, you know, starting is a difficult task. But once you start, you know, now you want to expand and scale up. Now, how easy is that? How was it? And obviously it's not easy. I'm sure there's a journey there. There's different things that happen. But once you get to a certain point, what is that critical point where you're like, that's it, I'm good. Now I can do as many as I want. It's all the same.
Yeah, such good questions. You know, I can remember a second office and, you know, I definitely, as you mentioned earlier, still probably wanted a little too much control. And my wife, Jody, and I, we went and started that new office and let our current team hold down our existing, you know, fort. And once we got a little momentum, though, we did bring, you know, Dr. Kevin Schnitzer over, and he did a fantastic job just continuing to grow it. But we were probably a little too people dependent, a little lucky at the time. We weren't enough process dependent as well. But we had talented people and we overcame that. And it was, so that second location was very hard because you can't be in two places at once. That's really going to give you some lessons. And then when you go for three, you know, for the people that are in brick and mortar locations, you know, that's a whole new challenge. But once you really get your infrastructure, then from three, you can really scale, because then we immediately went from five to six when we partnered with a bigger company. And then we went straight, we acquired another five location company. We went straight to actually 12 because they started a new office and, you know, we did as well. So it was interesting to really see, because five-ish was testing our limits. We were just getting better, but then to pretty quickly go to 12. And at this point I was more on the coaching side, which is fun. So I had plenty of resources to see all that happen in late 2021 and 2022.
Well, that's a great picture for our audiences. Yeah. For anyone, I mean, again, listen, ambition is a big deal, and we would like people to be as ambitious as they can be, because that's a great thing. And yes, if you're, you know, you have the drive to start a business in a niche that you actually are good at, because I mean, that's the other thing. I mean, sometimes we start businesses we're not too expert at, and then we might not make them happen. But that's okay, folks. Sometimes even if you get in the wrong type of business, you will learn a few things, and then you can apply them in whatever correct, you know, environment that you prefer, and you actually can excel in. But in your case, you went from one to two. It was difficult, as you said. You can't clone yourself, so you have to actually be doing a lot of things. But one of the things that I think you've covered a couple of times is the idea of having other people run things. You basically train the trainer, right?
Totally.
These folks are coachable. You yeah. get them the test, you give them defined, you know, and that's actually a big one in business. For me, a business leadership, you know, I do this all the time, and I sometimes get upset when it's not happening. Like, you know, I hear this all the time. Well, I was told to do this, but I wasn't sure how to do it. But you know what? If you want your people to do a good job, then you define things, your dailies, your weeklies, whatever, you have to break it down so they know what their tasks are. Boom, 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 boom. And in a job description, as you said, clarify every single thing. So it's not like, I don't know what that means. I don't know what my job is. Sometimes you give people a title, but they don't know. They just guess what the tasks are going to be within the title. Be specific, you know, again, like SMART objectives. We use that in the business concept. Use it also in terms of assignments and assigning the task. And then you train them on all these things. Now, if you train them to do it correctly, they will do it correctly. And then you know that that's running. And then you go to the next one. And then you maybe train someone that will do the training for you. And that changes the dynamic, because now you can multiply yourself in other folks, as opposed to you doing the work, you know, five times. You can just do it once and other people do it, you know, the rest of the time. Makes it easier. And then now you can focus on growth and you know, multiplying your assets and your empire, which in this case you were able to do through financial acquisition and, you know, and other things and partnerships.
Yes.
So now that's a big question.
Yeah.
Finding a partner in business other than your wife.
Yeah. You know, yes.
It's not always easy. Now, again, you translate it with a strange person or entity.
Mm-hmm.
And now you have to, I mean, sometimes, you know, people can argue about colors of logo. It happened to me. I can tell you.
Oh, yeah.
That. You know, people can, you know, just because everybody's got an opinion, everybody wants to have a decision, you know, piece of it. So it's very difficult to actually work with somebody else as a partner,
definitely,
you know, because now ideas can get meshed up. So how did you handle all that?
Yeah, well, the analogy that I always used with our physical therapists who joined Breakthrough as partners was a marriage analogy. So similar, you know, fortunately, Jody and I, we were, you know, married. So that is a type of partnership. So being in business, you know, you could look at it as an extension to that. But other people, we wanted to get to know them for 2 years. And I challenged everyone on the team. I let everyone know that we had a partnership tracked, which was very unusual in physical therapy. And it really helped attract and retain the best and brightest. And especially when, you know, our first partner joined, other people saw it as, well, wow, it is possible. And we actually, this is probably a little bit too much detail, but I'm a big believer in a buy-in or a down payment and deposit, so people really have some skin in the game. But we did owner financing for our people, so we made it doable for them. So once they actually became a partner, as long as we continued to grow, their equity position, their percentage of ownership would pay their loan back and their taxes, and they would have money in their pocket, profit beyond that, as long as we hit our projections. We did like 7-year pro formas for our people considering partnership. So we really wanted to work in the trenches, because when you have those, you know, challenging times, stressful times, that's when you really learn the true, you know, character of people and their heart and soul, and, you know, whether you guys are going to work well together. You know, the good times are easy, but the bad times, it all becomes revealed. So, yeah, that was our test. Work side by side in the trenches for a couple of years. And I challenged everybody to act like a partner along the way, which was actually hard. It was a very difficult challenge, but we had our people rise to that. And that meant just being frugal, treating it like, you know, money was your own money. And it was fun to see people really stepped up and blossomed.
Well, that's a great model right there. I mean, and by the way, that model has been applied and successful in other areas. I mean, we hear law firms, right? You become a partner and so on and so forth. That's very common. But there's a lot of business models that actually have that, where you come in, you buy a piece of the pie, you become part of it, and then eventually you can own your own, you know, franchise concept or your own piece of the company. And, you know, it could be, you know, very attractive to your point, to talent. And because now they know that it's not a dead end job. This is like something I can own, and I can become my own, you know, I guess, you know, entrepreneur here. So you change the dynamics, but you gave them an opportunity to kind of operate side by side, and you vet them out at the same time. But you're right. It's not like, hey, let's do this, and there's nothing. They had to buy into the concept physically, you know, and so that financially. And that's the other thing, that keyword you said, skin in the game. I mean, that's a big deal. I mean, folks, I mean, sometimes think about it. If you're not putting money in anything, it's not really going to be as attractive to you, because now you have nothing to lose. But when you put some money, I mean, think about it. That's what banks want you to put a deposit on a house, and they want the more from you than the least, right? Because the more you put in, the more you have something to lose. And so that concept works in a lot of areas, and it works in business. So now you transited, you know, you multiplied this, but then you talked about you went bigger than that in 21, where you reached out to some other, you know, I guess, entities or financial institutions. So how did that work?
Yeah. So as I mentioned, you know, my original plan, Jody and I's original plan and vision was to stay independent. And we had three partners, and after about a year, in 2018, when one of our partners took over the CEO hat, he did fine. He did well. And after about a year or so, he said that he wanted to be the majority partner. And I said, beautiful. Let's map this out over the next 5 or 6 years while our youngest finishes high school, and you'll be the majority owner. And Jody and I may not even be local in this geography. And, you know, not that we necessarily have to go to zero, but, you know, we would be, you know, lower partners for sure. And, you know, the other existing partners could, you know, buy more if they want to, and then new partners could still. And this would be pretty, you know, rare and special. Even, you know, it's definitely some law firms and medical firms are independent, although there's been a lot of consolidation, which leads me to the next thing. So especially in 2021, there was a lot of capital in the market for investing with, you know, what the government did. There was private equity just needed, you know, great little businesses to invest in and do their thing, which is to provide resources and capital. And these are, you know, very skilled people. So they approached us. We weren't looking to sell. So this is what I recommend everyone listening. Know the value of your business, whatever, no matter what industry you're in, know the formulas, and, you know, with caution, definitely proceed. If you create a good business, people will approach you. Be careful, you know, meet in person or on the phone. What I recommend is just sort of like a little tactic or hack. Just ask by email, like how they would value your business, so you know that. Because for us in 2004, it was like 3 to 5 times EBITDA, or 1.0 to 1.1 times revenue, which was never really used. It was the EBITDA or profit. And then over time, people would give me, you know, 4 to 6. Oh, okay, good. And then, you know, even though we weren't looking, as I said, in 2021, private equity, all of a sudden is we sat down with them because our CEO partner, you know, wanted Jody and I to, and said, this is a really good group. They're really talented. I think we should sit down with them. I think we should share financials. I said, okay, this is only the second time in our history. I guess at that time it was, you know, 14, 15 years in business. And I said, tell them to come with something specific so we don't go down a rabbit hole of resources. And they did. And they made ridiculous offer, like a 10x multiple and just lots of little perks, including me coaching the parent company, the CEO and the regional directors. So we partnered with that bigger company. It wasn't the original plan of staying independent, but you know what I like to say, it's kind of first world problems, right? Being made a ridiculous offer when you're not looking to sell. So that's how that happened.
Well, thank you. But that's also a big deal right there, because plans do change. You know, I think one of the things that if you get into a business, you know that what you're expecting today may not be exactly what's going to happen in 10 years and 20 years. Sure. Now you have a vision and you work towards the vision, but that shifts based on dynamics and circumstances and opportunities will come up and you'll have to adjust accordingly. So you got to be flexible in terms of what comes your way. I mean, at the end of the day, what is the main thing? If you can still be financially, you know, fit, you know, literally, because you structure everything in a way that even when you actually scaling down, you're still cashing out a good amount. Yeah. That's supporting your, you know, and in terms of financials.
And to be also specific, for everyone listening, if you, with your businesses, as you grow them, you can, if you have a really healthy business, health being a key word today, you can get an upfront lump sum payment. And be careful not to get, you can get guaranteed payments. If any part of it is delayed, it doesn't have to be what they call an earnout. It can be guaranteed as well. So so really structure it to your, you know, best interest, including tax strategy. So, you know, you probably really need to grow a business to have opportunities for some of the bigger, you know, tax strategy vehicles like estates, you know, over $10 million pre-tax to have some of them. So yeah, just a few pearls that I learned along the way.
Well, again, I mean, but this is strategy right now, and you've established it. You've shown, you know, success at it. I mean, you're still doing it. And again, you're taking on the road to teach other people now in your business. So now you really pretty much structure all that, you and your wife, and now you enjoy a little bit more freedom, and you're doing a lot more coaching.
Yes.
So how was that transition? Because I mean, isn't that's the ideal scenario for everyone watching and listening? Like, what I think that's what everybody wants in life is that the ability to be financially set where you can do the things you want with the people you want at the time that you want. And then now all your schedules can be a lot more better manageable, right?
Yes. Yeah. It, you know, it's like Tony Robbins and Dean Graziosi came out several years ago already with like the Knowledge Broker Blueprint. And I love this movement. There's so many people, right? You may be a piano coach, and now instead of just teaching piano, you can teach other people how to start a piano coaching business. So to use what's in your head, and you don't necessarily need a, you know, brick and mortar anymore. And you can, you know, teach all over the world and just use your brain. So there, it's very attractive, right? Because you can have geographic freedom and more lifestyle freedom and certainly financial freedom. However, it's not easy. Everyone's trying to be a consultant and a coach, and people gravitate towards the Tony Robbins and the Ben Hardys and the Dean Graziosis and the, you know, the big names. So you really have to be passionate. And I've been lucky enough to be 1000% in love with, you know, being a physical therapist and a personal trainer and now a coach for entrepreneurs. And I'm 6 years into it now, and it's all coming together. You know, I'm working with many successful entrepreneurs, mostly started entrepreneurs. I've got a growing group of financial planners and healthcare practitioners, and many of them are multimillionaires and have financial freedom. So it's a lot of fun, and I have a lot of traction, but definitely stay committed and stay the course, because I chose a hard path. I didn't immediately want to coach physical therapy where I had the most credibility, because I didn't want to compete with, you know, Breakthrough and myself. And I don't, you know, you could still look at that as being the right or wrong move, but you know, I definitely chose a harder path. And so if you love helping other people in whatever area of expertise is, stick with it because you can do it. You know, it wasn't easy for me, and now I'm, you know, 6+ years in, but it's all coming together so nicely, and I'm really, you know, honored and humbled and just, you know, pleased, so much fulfillment to have some of these freedoms that you mentioned.
We also, I think you're learning as well by doing this, because that's another piece that you always get. Because you're talking to top, you know, entrepreneurs, and they have different things they need. And that's the other thing. Like, it's funny because you said these are like, you know, already successful folks, yet they still have coaches. And that's the thing. Like, when you think about it, like, you know, the people that are making it, they just say, I'm making it, I'm good, I don't need any help. They still can seek additional, you know, I guess, flavor, because you bring in a new perspective to them. It can change the way they do things, and maybe can amplify what they're already doing. Because when we get caught into things, we get caught into things. We're not seeing the same. You need fresh, you know, eyesight. You need a fresh look at what you do and how you do it. And sometimes you need that extra pair of eyes to tell you, like, well, maybe you can do this. And I'm talking about real, you know, training and coaching here, and opinion, not just negative opinion or like, you know, I just don't like the way you do it. You know, you're talking from expertise, and you're not, it's not criticizing, it's really, you know, supporting and helping and assisting. So it's a different way of things. But really, again, for people out there, coaching is for everyone, folks. Whether you're novice or you're an expert, we can all use some additional help. And that includes me, that includes everybody that is, you know,
and me. I just, in November, I had a couple of years where I realized I didn't have a coach. In 2018, I tried to hire one of the biggest people I emulate. He wrote the foreword of my book, John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneurs on Fire podcast. And I wish I would, in hindsight, I wish I would have persevered and just found a way to work with him. But he made a recommendation, and I went with his recommendation, and they were amazing. But there was a period of time where I didn't have a coach for probably 4 years. And just in November, I resumed Coaches Need Coaches. You know, and when really we have 10X visions and big visions, just like you're mentioning, we have blind spots and we need that support and accountability. And really the way I look at it with people that I work with is their success is my success. So it's the same on whatever side of it you're on.
Well, that's a positive note for people that are watching and listening. Because again, I love what you said. Their success is your success. That's actually true for everything that we do.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes we are our own enemy because we feel that if I help them succeed, you know, they're going to succeed. But their success is yours because you are behind it. So don't, you know, take the credit for it, no matter what it is.
Let them spread their wings. Exactly. And, you know, it's not a bad, that was like a physical therapy mantra that, you know, when people graduate, that's actually a good thing, right? We don't necessarily, some professions like to keep people a little more dependent, but yeah, I'm in the same camp.
But that's a big deal, right? You know, folks, you know, it's one of the key things for leadership, right? A true leader makes leaders.
Yes.
Okay. And you know, someone that is not a leader will actually stop people, prevent them from going or becoming better because there's always the fear that they're going to compete against you or me.
Right.
You know, that's not how it is. I'm not worried about the people that I train and coach to become better. Let them be, as you said, spread those wings, be better. I don't care. You know, and there's no, you know that they will always, you know, look up to you no matter what. Even sometimes they can be even higher level than you.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter, folks.
Yeah.
You know, you already did the job. That's it. Now, you could you have done more? That's up to you. You determine how far you go and where you went. But that's okay for other people to fly. I mean, it's like, parents, right? You want your kids to grow and just do better.
1000%.
Same concept here. I mean, you help someone. That's like, you know, it's not a child, but it's like, it's the same concept.
And just like children, someone said to me who was very wise, you know, it's actually not your children that you can judge how great of a job parents did, but look at their children's children, right? Their grandchildren. Because again, it's kind of like you, right? A great leader is going to create leaders who create leaders, and it just becomes exponential. So
it's a legacy.
It's the same. Now, yeah.
A good example that never fails is martial arts.
Yeah.
I mean, we have Sanchez and Shihaz and professors, but they all learn from professors that learn from professors, you know, and that legacy remains for centuries. I mean, these arts are so ancient, and we are learning, you know, over and over. I've been in martial arts. So I can tell you, I've learned from people and they learn from, you know, I teach some and, you know, and so on and so forth. But it's been, you know, a historical event. And it's not like, no professor's like, we're not going to teach you stuff. I mean, you know, we hear the stories about Bruce Lee when, you know, first the Kung Fu came to the States and there was a lot of politics about not teaching non-Chinese and stuff. But that was like more political, you know. But in general, in the arts, people are learning, you know, the arts from advanced people so they can teach. Knowledge is made to be given, not to be kept. Otherwise, we'll be living in we're still trying to figure out how to put fire together. You know what I mean? You know, it's that kind of thing. So I love the concept. And I think for our audiences, you know, again, just open your eyes and you're really just your horizons. I mean, it is the way to go. There's actually a satisfaction level for that. You're helping people. And by the way, it's not free. You're making money out of this stuff too. So why not? Like, you know, it's very easy. I can help myself by helping others. And that's actually true for everyone.
Yeah. The more you help other people get what they want in life, the more you'll get exactly what you want in life, right?
And if you're good, your name just spreads more and more. More referrals, more, you know, products, more resources, and more success. That's like everybody's, you know, dream come true kind of concept, right? So now the book, you wrote the book as a summary of all the things that you've done.
Yes.
And, you know, what are some of the critics or criticisms that you've determined over the work that entrepreneurs make? You know, like things that pitfalls that we as entrepreneurs sometimes fall in or mistakes we make.
Oh, okay. Where do we begin? So many good ones. I mentioned that in regards to health, I think, you know, sleep is usually compromised too quickly and too significantly. A friend of mine who, you know, very Wall Street background and has his own, you know, company now for 10 years. And, you know, he was $1 million a year earner, in Wall Street, but he's only getting 5 to 6 hours sleep a night. And, you know, the research really boiled it down. When I read Matt Walker's book, A Neuroscientist Totally Focused on Sleep, all the magic happens between 7 and 9 hours. You know, and a few years ago, I remember going to a Mr. Wonderful event in Trenton, New Jersey. And I was talking to a young entrepreneur. She was a franchisee. She had like 20 locations. She was young. I mean, 25, 30. And she was like jumping in on Mr. Wonderful's real estate deal. And I was like, how are you going to have time to do that? She's like, I'll sleep less. And I was like, how much sleep are you getting now? She's like, 5 hours. I mean, sleep is definitely, it'll catch up to you if you really abuse it. I mean, for the guys listening, right? I mean, the research is actually very clear. If you sleep less than 6 hours, like 5 hours, you are going to be like a decade older, you know, based on your hormones. And I just actually came across a study this week, even 1 week of less sleep, like an hour and a half less sleep. So I think maybe like 5 hours of sleep and, you know, testosterone will drop 15% in men. And it's actually similar in women, you know, with hormone problems. So sleep is critical and definitely a big pitfall. But even deeper than that, I feel like knowing our priorities, because for me, one thing that we didn't really talk about today, you know, I touched on strategy. I was lucky enough to have a mentor that taught me a traditional business planning process. And then when I started working with entrepreneurs, you know, I was spending 80, 120, 160 hours on this and more. And it was massive document for Denali Consulting. I had a 50-page business plan in 2018 when I started. But after, it took me 2 full years to realize I needed to boil it down for the average entrepreneur. And the one thing that I actually added, though, was that why. So I feel like most people, if you really ask them, you know, their reason, their why, their purpose, they don't necessarily know it off the bat. And if they do know it, they're not necessarily thinking through that lens. So, you know, really doing some introspective work, because it's just very easy to just stay on the hamster wheel. So those would be a couple top of mind pitfalls.
Well, that's quite a bit. But,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
I mean, listen, I mean, they need to read the book. we can't give it all, right? But so Denali Consulting is the actual, you know, group that you've created. That's your consulting, yes, you know, business.
Correct.
All right. So we'll have the link for that. Now people can sign up for this. Is there a particular, you know, level that you need to have to join, or is it open to all entrepreneurs, startups, and so on and so forth?
Yeah. I especially love to serve entrepreneurs that have, you know, six-figure businesses that really want to hit seven figures, which it matches, you know, the book title, you know, similar to entrepreneurs you mentioned earlier. Not many, you know, certainly not all survive. And unfortunately, 96% of small businesses fail within 10 years. And it's actually the same number for businesses that hit seven-figure mark in revenue. It's about, you know, only about 4%. So I really love, you know, entrepreneurs that are, you know, multiple six figures and just trying to figure out how they can get to that next mark and maybe even go to eight figures, and who are maybe seeing some of these early warning signs. They're just pushing outside of their comfort zone, feeling a little bit overwhelmed, maybe some of those early burnout signs. I help plenty of, you know, startups, happy to help startups as well. I've got a new or mastermind, depending on when this comes out, that is going to be, you know, more community focused, like group focused, and the magic is actually in the community. So, you know, we'll meet as a community so people could think about that. And certainly I help people, you know, with private coaching as well. So, and I mentioned earlier, you know, by niches, which is not the way I approached it. But, you know, especially like helping healthcare niches and physical therapists, I'm serving more physical therapists now more recently, and that, you know, physicians, functional medicine doctors, and financial planners. For whatever reason, I really, you know, love serving financial planners as well.
That's quite a bit. Well, so you, the mastermind is coming up soon?
Yeah, I'm, you know, right now I'm in like the beta version. So by the time this goes live, it'll be like fully established. Yes.
Well, so this is live next week. So
okay, good. And so, what it's called is literally, here's my like kind of commitment and promise. I'm having fun with this. So I want entrepreneurs, as I mentioned, to get paid for the roles they have. So I'm calling it Double Your Take Home, which will also double your valuation, which is what we talked about, right? Because the more, you know, profit or EBITDA you have, then that'll actually increase the value of your business. And really, a friend of mine just said this last week. He's like, Lance, you know, maybe you should talk about their life and lifestyle and health as well. So double your take home, double your valuation, 10x your life is like my working, you know, title. And that's actually within 6 months, I want to help entrepreneurs do that, create that outcome. Because so many entrepreneurs are just, I'm talking to somebody who's got a seven-figure business in Philadelphia who gets paid $19,000 a year right now. You know, he can't even make his rent payments. It's pretty horrendous with a seven-figure, you know, two-location business.
But that's a big thing. People see there's a mistake between, you know, what your business brings and what you're actually taking home. Because I think one of the rules in the business, and that's actually for everybody, and I've learned this, you know, myself through the opportunities and, you know, I've been in, you know, on and off businesses myself, is that you got to pay yourself first.
Yes.
Because if you don't make the money to sustain your bills, you're not going to be able to focus on the business. And yes, they can generate enough revenue, but it's only, you know, because you have inventory, you have overhead, you have all the stuff. So you're basically paying the bills to pay, you know, making money to pay the bills of the business, but you're not making anything for you. And so not only you need to have a salary, but you also have to manage yourself to get some profits at the end of the day, or dividends, or whatever it is. But I think that's a big problem, I think, that a lot of people experience, because
cash flow and like paying yourself first is a critical problem.
Well, I think that's what I've listened to quite a few, you know, shows and discussions about that with experts.
Yeah.
That's one of the rules. You got to make sure that you're getting paid. You know, I mean, even for personal, for taxes purposes and stuff, you know, that's your income. That's a deduction. Mm-hmm. There's all stuff. You know, you and your wife or your partners, you need to have salaries from the business. That's expensive. You know, so there's certain things that can. Now, that's your job. You teaching those tricks, you know, to people to make sure that they happen. But it is a big deal because, as you said, what's the point of it? Well, I have $7 million business, but I'm making no money. I mean, or I'm making, I don't know, $700,000, you know, a month, and I'm not making money.
Yeah.
You know what? It doesn't even end up like, if you tell someone, oh, I got a big business. Like, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know, what is the bottom line, right? So it's very difficult, you know, when it comes to the business world. There's a lot of tricks, and that's why we need experts. So Lance, I mean, we've exceeded our hour, you know, easily. We had some fun. Now you also do TV. Now, I mentioned that earlier. What kind of program did you have?
Yeah, thanks for asking. And for everyone listening, be sure to like and follow Hurricane. I mean, he delivers so much value. So I've had a TV show. I'm in my second year in RVN TV Studio. Shout out to them in Mount Laurel, New Jersey. Keith and Lori Reynolds, called Moving Mountains, where I love to feature people doing super heroic things in life and or business. So, you know, since we're both here in New Jersey, we're going to get you down sometime.
Oops, I'm in a hook. And I can't even write out. You put this live on me now.
Yes.
It's all good. I mean, if I can share value, that's the whole idea. So,
for sure.
I mean, you know, but that's great work. I mean, the idea that you are bringing value to people so you can share, you know, other people's successes and what they have to share. I mean, that's the thing. Everybody has something. And, you know, folks, you're watching and listening, you know, you don't have to be a podcaster. You don't have to be a talk show host. You don't have to be a business person, but you have value. You know, stuff that you know can be valuable to other people. You know, the thing, sometimes we hold on to information we have that we can share with others and they can benefit from it. And it could be a little thing, you know, so it doesn't have to be huge, you know, stuff, but we all have something to learn and to teach. So go for it, folks, you know, but that's great work, man. So now where can they watch that, your programming?
Yeah. Probably the simplest place that I'll say is RVN Television and / Moving Mountains, where it's almost like Netflix style. It's all there, but you know, they're doing things with Amazon and Hulu, and you know, you could figure out a way to find it there. But if you go there, you'll find our show Moving Mountains and lots of other great shows to check out as well.
So I'll make sure that we'll link it up so people can check it out. All right.
That'd be awesome.
No worries. Listen, like I said, it's value, right? You know, I mean, we'll have more of you. You already did the work, so might as well just share more, right?
For sure.
All right. Well, so Lance, you know, what are some of, you know, just final words that you want to share with our audiences before we close our show today?
Yeah. Well, again, thank you for having me. Everyone, be sure to follow Hurricane, you know, doing amazing stuff, delivering so much value, and great, incredible, gracious host. You know, appreciate you so much. Some of the biggest messages I would like to relay, just to, you know, some final thoughts. There's definitely a mantra that you hear from a lot of thought leaders about just taking action. I like to actually improve that and fine tune it a little bit and recommend taking strategic action. You know, we can't be at the mountaintop 100% of the time. But we can't be 0% of the time. If we run straight down into the trenches and fight and take on, you know, the heart of the enemy's army, we'll probably lose. So it only probably has to be about 10% of the time for your year, your month, your week, and your day, but take some time to make sure you're doing the rightest things, right? Doing your big boulders, your needle movers. And even in Tim Ferriss's words, right, there may be some small reversible damage. It's going to be hard to keep your blinders on and turn off your technology, but take strategic action and get the most important things done, because that will compound. And know, take some time for yourself as part of that strategic work to really do some thought exercises and get deep within your heart and soul so that you know what's most important to you. Because, you know, as we've talked about today, you could build a successful business and have financial freedom, but, you know, people all ages and all backgrounds, you know, just yesterday I was speaking to someone in their 30s who just got referred to an oncologist, may have, you know, gallbladder cancer. Do what's in your control, because we do know from the research, and you'll see it in my book, that, you know, longevity and quality of life, the old nature nurture battle, it's actually more nurture than nature. We can't blame it on our parents. Our lifestyle is the biggest, you know, biggest needle mover, the biggest lever. So you know, take control of your lifestyle. Take ownership. It's on us to do better with the sleep and make some time for mental health and mindset work and physical, you know, exercise and nutrition, all the things we've been talking about today. And have a great life. Build the life of your dreams. It can be done. It's a fun pursuit. Do what you love. And anybody who needs any help, you know, just reach out.
Well, thank you, doctor. It's true honor, and I'm privileged to always be the first one getting, you know, that nice little energy from you, you know, and getting all those insights, you know, before it goes on the air. But really, it is powerful stuff, and it is, you know, really good to hear these things because, you know, again, it's amazing. It's contagious. The more you hear these things, the more you become positive, the more you actually are aware. And you have to continuously do that, folks. So that's all there is. So that being said, we can literally go for another hour. I know doctor needs to to go right now, but it was a true, you know, fun hour here. Great exchange. Thank you, Dr. Lance Knob, for being with us today. It was fun. Folks, I think this is it. You know, we'll be talking soon. Another day, another show, another guest. Bye for now.